following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan along with you. Great to have you on this Monday as we get ready for a recap of the weekend in sports. We'll also be hearing Bo Pelini's press conference as they get ready for Purdue. Yay, 2:30, not 11 a.m. Yay. So that game will be on ABC and the Breeze 94.5 Saturday. The coach's press conference at about 11:30. The state football playoffs get underway this week. Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, will be joining us to break that down. There's a lot to get to. And Jimmy, how was your weekend, man?
It was fine. I wish the Royals could have won 2 out of 3, but at least we're still playing.
Yeah, we said on Friday, get it back to Kansas City, and that would be good. And then when you win game 3 to go up 2-1, you're thinking, well, you know, just split. But Bumgarner is amazing. I still would just like the Royals to put the bat on their shoulder and see if the guy could actually put one in the strike zone. I mean, and again, he'd figure it out, but make the guy figure it out. I mean, they're talking about how great a pitcher he is, but when the ball starts at the knees, and that's easy to say when you're not a major league hitter like we aren't, but the Royals have really struggled against him. And, I mean, it's not like his regular season record was 22-1. I mean, the guy was beatable, and the Royals look like a bad minor league team against this guy.
You know, one thing about it, it should be an easy game to get out of, though, because I think, you know, your confidence level when you're a Major League Baseball player, I mean, this year the Royals have played 170-some games, and, hey, you're going to have your days where you don't hit it, and you're going to have to just come out of that real quick. But I think the one thing is, I think it's harder to lose games in 13 innings or 14 innings, you know, when you had about a 50-50 chance of winning it, or you had the bases loaded and you left them loaded. It wasn't like they had a lot of opportunities here. You know, they got ahead 4-1 on Saturday, but it just wasn't there. You know, they got beat pretty soundly. So the three games they've lost, they've gotten beat really bad and really have nothing to come back and go, God, if we'd have done this one move or that one move.
Well, game 6 is tomorrow. Ventura's on the mound, the youngster, and we'll see if he can get the job done when you have youngster and veteran. But for being down 3-2, still got a pretty good feeling, as you said. And the last time, the only time the Royals won the World Series, they came back from 3-1 down. They were home for game 6 and 7. And so let's see if we can just get it to a game 7 and win it. Now, as you know, in sports, now that you're there, you want to win it. As George Brett was saying last week, they're there now. They want to win it. That's the weird thing about it. The Giants have been there, and they've been good for quite a while. When you go all the way that first year, usually there's a building process where any team in any sport, especially in the NBA, you hardly ever see a team come out of nowhere and make a run to the finals unless, you know, you pick up 5 guys and stack the team like Miami did a couple, whatever it was, 4 years ago now when they put that all together. It's hard to do that, and the Royals come from basically nowhere, not making the playoffs in 29 years, to the finals. And it'll hurt a lot more afterwards if they don't win it. And for the Giants, most of these guys have rings already, so I think it's kind of from a psyche standpoint, it's a different spot. It's not like there's a team there that has been so close and hasn't won it before. Neither team has that edge with 2 games to 1 or 2 games to go.
you know, without being in a big market area, too, like you, the Yankees, all the Yankee players, the Red Sox players, the Dodgers, the Angels, they're on TV a lot, and ESPN puts them on TV a lot. The Royals, other than us in you know, this area in the central United States, really have never got to see them play very much. So this was really a great opportunity for people to see Lorenzo Cain. You know, for them to go ahead and see some of these players, Moustakas, you know, and let them, their name got out there now. You had, because you can't make the All-Star team, you can't make some of these squads unless, you know, your name's out there a little bit. But this is really good. The only thing I'm concerned about, and I think this will happen, I think maybe 2 years from now, this team won't be this intact. I'm afraid we're going to lose some players. You know, we're going to lose some pitchers. We're going to lose this. It wasn't going to be like it was, you know, back when you and I were watching him in the 80s when it was the same players. You know, Amos Otis was going to be in center field, or Willie Wilson, and, you know, George Brett was going to be at third base, and et cetera. We had the same pitchers all the time. I think this team might be broken up a little bit, so it'd be nice to win it because I don't think they're going to, this team's going to be intact. I think there are going to be too many trades. And our pitchers, that the group of three pitchers, it's going to be hard. We won't have enough money to get those three guys back.
Well, and it sounds like James Shields is gone, and with the way he pitched in the postseason, a lot of people will say, well, that's, but he is solid. He has been solid in the regular season, and that's what you got to have, and it's going to be hard to find somebody else like that for the Royals, but we'll see. So now Ned Yost has to make the decision. Does he just automatically go back to the lineup he had in Kansas City in games one and two, or does he stay with what he had in San Francisco, putting Cain in right and Dyson in center, and then how about the batting order? If you do that, Butler's going to be back in as the designated hitter. Gordon would slide from two back down to six. It'll be interesting to see. What would you do, Jimmy? I mean, do you think Aoki's right back in there?
Aoki's,
or do you like what they like with what they have with Dyson?
No, Aoki's back. He's going to be playing, and he puts the ball in play. He beats out infield hits. He had a stretch there in September, Doug, where he broke George Brett's record for most hits in a three-game series. This guy at any time could go 4 for 5 in a game. I think that he's going to be back in the lineup in right field. They're going to go with the home lineup that they had, and they played all these games with the Angels and the Orioles. They're going to go with this lineup. He won't change it again. I'm not for sure what he'll do with his pinch hitting and things like that. I definitely think he'd like to get the lead and put these runners in there, you know, so they'll be running the bases. Because, you know, Gore, you know, look at Gore and Billy Butler. They never got to play hardly. You know, in all three games, you didn't see him much.
Well, let's before we go into a break here and talk some more football, let's look at how we did over the weekend. I knew I was just,
how'd you
without going into a lot of things, blah. You know, it was one of those weeks where we talk about the games. You know, if you pick 5 and then you look at 10, you went 5-0 on the ones that you didn't officially take, and you went 1-4 on the other ones. It was that kind of a weekend. Jets, quit it. Bears, quit it. Cowherd took it in the shorts this weekend, too. You heard him talking about that here in the last half an hour, where because he was all over the Bears because he thought the Pats were a little too beat up. And then, how can you just never should pick against New England, I guess. Ever, 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 ever. And the Jets, Geno Smith. You got to go play somewhere else, buddy. You're not good. I'm sorry. That's too bad. Hate to see somebody struggle like they did, but you had a couple instances over the weekend where it wasn't good. And, Jimmy, your selections, you liked the Washingtons, and it didn't work out for you, Washington and Washington State.
No, neither one of those do, but like I said, the key thing we gave right at the beginning of the show was that Utah and USC – get on that thing under on both cases. And you know what happened in that game, Doug?
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, not only did it win, USC ran a kickoff back for a touchdown, and Utah picked up a fumble and ran in for a touchdown, which is two things you don't want when you're betting under.
and you still covered.
Yeah, still covered. But and then I think Utah and Penn State covered, and then I lost on a NFL game that was a 50-50 deal.
Yeah, the Eagles right down with Arizona. It was a good football game, deep pass. Arizona wins that ball game. They as we've said, they are for real. It's just that when you were in with Seattle and San Francisco, it's hard to make room. And all of a sudden, that division isn't as tough as a lot of people thought it was at the beginning of the year. So we'll see how that all plays out. Monday Night Football tonight, Dallas and Washington here on ESPN. Officially, Jimmy, 2-3 on his picks, but the two bonus picks were both winners. So he had the loss on the Eagles in both Washington and Washington State. He had both winners on the Utah-USC unders, the Utah game, and Penn State. Oh, boy, there's some unhappy people in Happy Valley. It is unhappy Valley today. What'd you think? Penn State definitely got hosed in that football game, but you can't fall behind like they did either, make the comeback. And then when you get the explanation from the league, it makes you probably a little bit more perturbed. Well, we had problems with the we had technical difficulties with the replay booth. Huh?
Okay, what? Explain.
Turn on the TV.
Explain.
The guys on TV have it.
Hey, what exactly happened on the replay?
Tell there were two bad calls.
Right.
And one of them was they awarded Ohio State an interception that Mr. Magoo could have told you was not an interception.
Correct.
These goobers can't get it right, and it leads to an Ohio State touchdown. There was another bad call in the game on a field goal attempt that was attempted after the whistle. It should have been a delay of game like the Atlanta-Detroit game was yesterday.
Yes.
That would be sickening if you're Atlanta the way that one got away. That's the kind of thing that's going to unravel that whole situation in Atlanta. But anyway,
I knew about the interception. I didn't know about what the situation was with the field goal.
The field goal thing. So you chalk it up, say he still makes it after the delay of game. But the interception, there's just no room today in this game. I mean, come on, Jimmy. You got to use common sense. Well, we only had one angle. If you're having a problem, what do? You adapt, you overcome. You turn on the channel that has the football game, that has the replay, and go, oh, well, yeah, man, duh, there's no chance. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, you don't do that unless you have a problem. But it's not like ABC and the Big Ten Network are going, ooh, let's Ocean's 11 them. We'll make up a film of a fake play, and then if it really happens in the game, we'll slide it in there and we'll trick or treat them. I mean, they're not showing you a bogus play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you blow it? And they did, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Penn State loses. Ohio State wins. Ohio State doesn't move in the polls. They get to still have a chance at the Big Ten Championship. Penn State, who knows what that does to their program as far as a, I mean, the implications in this day and age, it's not just a mistake, Jimmy. It's where you go for a bowl game. It's the money you get. It's the Big Ten Championship. You can't. You just can't have that. You can't have it.
Yeah, Doug, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I mean, a buddy of mine, Tim O'Day, worked Youngstown State, and I talked to him about that game. It was 30-27 in South Dakota. Youngstown State had a great game, and I said, hey, that was a perfect game. We only had three penalties the whole game, and I'm thinking that is whatever stopped this, because you know the call I didn't like in the Ohio State Penn State game. If I'm reffing it, Ohio State's kicking an extra point. And if they make it, they tie, we go to double overtime. And all of a sudden, it's good. And I thought, well, we're tied. And I didn't see anybody rough the kicker. And the next thing you know, we got a penalty. And I thought, okay, what's this penalty for? Hurdling. A guy went in there to try to block the extra point. And, you know, he jumped on top. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, you know what? I got news for you. I didn't see that one. It worked. That's a, you know, I know it's a 15-yard penalty, and that's great if it's on the kickoff. That's a good rule for if it's on the kickoff.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not a good rule when you get to start from the 12.5 or the 40. Because that's what the penalty is for calling that. Now, if you just, and the guy didn't block the extra point and do it. I mean, he blocks the extra point, I got my flag out. You know what I mean? Because he gained an advantage. But he just kind of went up, you know, and the next thing you know, he's got a little height. Those guys jump pretty good. You know what I mean? You jump pretty good, and the next thing you know, what do you want me to do? Fall backwards? Because if you fall backwards, you don't have a penalty. But if he goes over, then it counts. You know, you kind of lose your balance. I don't like that. I think that's a bad. We have a lot of things that we're supposed to call. You know, there's holding. There's blocking below the waist. There's late hits. There's helmet-to-helmet contact. I love all those calls. I don't know. This call, I just think, Who came up with this that said you can't hurdle? Well, I don't think that's the intent of the rule was what that player did. That guy was trying to leap and get as high as he could vertical to block an extra point. And the next thing you know, he got so high that his defensive lineman kind of, you know, lands on his back.
Yeah.
And now here he's got to go over to the other side. I didn't like that call. I thought that had been a great call to put your flag right back in your pocket.
Well, we took it to Chase from Oxford. It was not a good week for most of us, but Jimmy did go 6-4. I was a pathetic 3-7, including my upset pick of the week, Maryland. So there you go. $30 in Cunningham's cash will be in the prize vault on Friday's Doug and Daddy Show. We need to take a break. Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. We'll talk state football playoffs. Po Pelini's press conference. All coming up here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be partly sunny and breezy with a high near 62. We'll see wind gusts as high as 30. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 34. For Tuesday, we'll have sunny skies, the high near 61, and Tuesday night, mostly clear. Currently, it's 61.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Ram Fall Truck Month is going on at your Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Hurry in before the great deals end on November the 3rd. Right now, 0% APR and no monthly payments for 90 days. How perfect is that when we get into the holiday season and you're trying to take care of everything that goes around Christmas and Thanksgiving in the first of the year? No monthly payments for 90 days today during the Ram Fall Truck Month event. And if you're looking maybe for a Chrysler on the same lot, the Chrysler Great American Drive event with all of the offers also running out November the 3rd. You can finance a 2014 Town and Country Limited for 0% APR for 60 months, plus up to $500 cash allowance. If you're looking to lease, how about a 2015 Chrysler 200 all-wheel drive, $179 a month for 36 months, $29.99 due at signing. And it's all part of the many great deals you can find at your Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. Think Midway.com. UNK.com. Some other things that went on over the weekend. A UNK football team makes a heck of a battle here with ninth-ranked Pittsburgh State. But Pittsburgh State shows why they're ninth-ranked, why they beat the number one team in the country. They rally from 21-13 down to the third quarter and beat the Lopers by a score of 36-21. They will host Fort Hays State. That time has been set for 12 noon. That was one of the late additions to the schedule as far as setting a time. So 12 noon on Saturday, the Lopers will take on Fort Hays State. Hastings College will come off a bye against Northwestern of Iowa. We'll take on both the coaches, Tony Harper and Daryl Morris, tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. And then, of course, the Husker-Purdue game has been set for 2:30 on Saturday, and that will be on ABC, and of course, as always, the Breeze. And Jimmy, what'd you think of the Husker game on Saturday? Bo Pelini not overly pleased. I wasn't pleased because Nebraska kind of let him have that last touchdown, or I would have been all over the prediction. I think the last touchdown, Nebraska didn't, I mean, I don't want to say they didn't care. They had some different guys in there. Rutgers kind of took it right down the field and got a momentum one on them.
Yeah, you know, you got to let some kids play. I mean, and plus you don't want to lose one of your starters in that situation, too, trying to make a tackle. And you know, because if you look at this, I don't think people – I mean, I think the average fan is – 90% of the people understand this anyway. Let's say that. That what happened to Rutgers? Their quarterback got hurt there right at the end of the half, probably. If I'm the head coach at Rutgers, which I'm not, but if I was the head coach at Rutgers, I would have gone into the halftime not trying to do anything. He almost put himself in a heck of a dilemma. They already were down. Doug, help me out with the score. You guys, one of you might remember that, but it was late, and they tried to move the ball in, you know, 90 yards in a minute. And I think it would, since Nebraska only had one timeout, I'd have got out of there.
Yeah.
Said at halftime, and then they're trying to make a play, and a guy gets because he loses his quarterback. Trying to make a play when it wasn't like they had the ball inside the 20 and they're trying to make a play. I thought it would have been a good time just to get out of there and end up getting in a heck of an injury that kind of affected the game a little bit, you know, and especially the rest of their season. They're trying to get bowl eligible. Rutgers is trying to win six games.
I was talking with Chris Schmidt, who you'll hear on Hail Varsity from 4 to 6 this afternoon, and some of the other media folks there, Sean Callahan and so on and so on. And even when and Sean asked Coach Pelini this in the postgame press conference, and he asked Amir Abdullah this, what does it say when you're disappointed after winning by 18 points? Nebraska the last few years has been disappointed after playing poorly and getting beat or getting blown out, which they have not had happen so far this year. I just, as I watched it, I wondered, is it about time? Because I think all Nebraska media and fans are scared or pessimistic about saying Nebraska's a really good football team because they've been bit by a bad loss every year. And under Bo Pelini and before that, just bad losses. I think it's hard for Nebraska fan and media to be real confident on this football team. I'll tell you what. They went out there, and Amir Abdullah is awesome, let's face it. But, I mean, they went out there, and they took care of a team that they were supposed to take care of. And I told you there would be one long pass play in the game. There was. It was a little different situation. I mean, let's face it. If your quarterback's running around for 10 minutes or 10 seconds, he's probably going to find somebody. And that's a play that is a play. I mean, you're close to making the sack, and unfortunately, you can't follow everybody for 10 seconds. It's just the way it is in football. And then you tack on the late one that doesn't mean anything. I really thought Nebraska handled this. I mean, they are taking care of the poor teams on their schedule, especially after the scare against McNeese State.
Yeah, I agree with you there. One thing, Abdullah, you know, you talk about what a player. I mean, what a difference maker, you know, is. And maybe that's the concern. The concern is, hey, we're trying to get some other people involved in the offense. We're trying to get a little more, you know, depth in some other guys. And eventually you're going, okay, it's 3rd and 7. Well, let's give it to Abdullah here and see what he does again. You know, and that's kind of, you know, we'll give it to him and he'll get another touchdown for us. But this seems to be the thing. I thought a quarterback played well. He had that one interception. I don't know what happened there. Our player went out of bounds, and he just kind of threw it into a spot where and you can't do that. You can't do that against good teams. But, you know, he's got the ball in his hand. He's got to make a lot of decisions. And I think he's doing a much better job at the short pass. I'll be honest with you. Nebraska's better than I thought they'd be. The University of Nebraska football team is better than I thought they'd be at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we've got a chance. We're putting ourselves in a position. Well, you know what's going to happen in 14 days is what's going to be interesting. What's going to happen in 14 days after – some people have played. We're going to play Purdue, and there's going to be a lot of people get beat. Nebraska's going to be probably ranked in the top 12, maybe the top 10.
Well, the Huskers will be on ABC. Mike Patrick and everybody's favorite Ed Cunningham will be on hand for that game. So we like Mike, and I know Husker fans kind of fed up with Ed Cunningham because of just some comments on his analysis that seemed to be anti-Nebraska and maybe a little bit over the top. So they're coming to Lincoln for the game on Saturday. Kenny Bell becomes Nebraska's all-time leader in receptions. He'll get the yardage mark against Purdue with anything over 6 yards. So what these guys are doing, plus we are organizing a chance to chat, hopefully, with Spencer Lindsay. The Kearney kicker got in for his first ever action. He got the last three kickoffs. And you kind of want to ask Bo or one of the coaches about that, but the tone after the game didn't really lend yourself to worrying about the guy that's coming in to kick off, because now that Bondi's out, I don't know why Drew Brown wasn't in there. They never really addressed it, but Spencer Lindsay gets his first action, the Kearney High graduate, so great for him.
Yeah, I agree. I know he was really disappointed. I talked to him in the summer in August a little bit. I knew he was disappointed that he thought he'd be able to make that. Is the 103 guys?
105,
that,
yeah.
Thank you, 105 guys that go in there, and I know that disappointed him. But I'm sure, I mean, with all the work and all the effort, you know, I don't know. You know, can you imagine how many balls he's kicked off in practice just for this one moment? Oh, you know, man. To get out there and get to do that. So, hats off to him. Good job. And, you know, back to the Nebraska thing again on this is, you know, that was a good point you made. We had a couple people set some records. And, you know, I mean, this had been a huge celebration instead of going, hey, we didn't beat Rutgers bad enough. You know, hey, and Rutgers isn't bad. They'd won 5 games. They were 5-2. They weren't a bad football team. That was a good win for us.
Yeah, we'll as the coach says, we're not going to downplay wins, but we needed to play better. And we'll see what today's tone is. Bo Pelini's press conference is coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stu Pospisil is in a bunker somewhere. Maybe we're having no chance of reaching him at the moment. So we'll get Stu on at some point, whether it's today or later on in the week, to talk high school football playoffs. Don't forget, Husker Lunch again Wednesday. We will be at Cunningham's, and it will be Sean Callahan this week from 12 to 1. So join us on Wednesday for our Husker Lunch. We'll take another break. Be back with more after this.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
In honor of our 30th anniversary, we will be celebrating with mall-wide deals Saturday, November 1st at Hilltop Mall. 30 lucky people will have a chance to win a $7,000 Snapper Pro lawnmower, a diamond necklace from Riddles, Y-Bike from CR Toys, and hundreds of other exciting prizes. We will also have Jimmy John's, cake, and a free showing of Ghostbusters at the Hilltop 4 Theater. Visit our Facebook page for the full list of events and giveaways. We hope to see you there.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fixed Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. a very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Doug and Addy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday, awaiting Bo Pelini in Lincoln for his weekly press conference. Folks, if you're thinking about a new pivot irrigation system now for a limited time, T&L Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. You can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile-long T&L pivot, which guarantees you decades of reliability with your T&L pivot system. And most of the folks are finishing up harvest. Hopefully it went well for you, and part of the reason why is because of that T&L that's sitting in your field. If you don't have a T&L, it's time to find out more by visiting your local T&L dealer today or going online to TLIRR.com, taking care of the United States and over 65 countries worldwide from their headquarters right here in Hastings. It is T&L Irrigation System, their Harvest Special, $5 per foot discount, where you can save up to $6,500 on a quarter mile long T&L pivot. The playoff brackets are out. Most of these are going to be night games. On Friday, it is everybody but Class D. Kearney High will be at Norfolk, and Grand Island will host Columbus. Those games are at 7 o'clock, and if Kearney High beats Norfolk for the second straight week, it looks like they would be getting the number one team in the state, Omaha North, at Foster Field. In Class B, Aurora will be taking on Scotts Bluff. That game is at 7 o'clock. York will play at Elkhorn at 4 in the afternoon because both Elkhorn teams are home. So they'll play that doubleheader there. In Class C1, Kearney Catholic will host Boys Town. There's a different team on the schedule. And the interesting thing is they've just the last year started to play them in basketball. So there's some lines of communication open there. 6 o'clock here on ESPN 1460 on Friday night. Kearney Catholic will take on Boys Town. Then at 7 o'clock, Central City's at the number one seed Ashland Greenwood. Grand Island Central Catholic is at Wilbur Claytonia. Cozad will host Fort Calhoun also at 7 o'clock. In C2, all 7 o'clock games for our area teams. Gibbon travels to David City to take on Aquinas. St. Cecilia will host Southern. Hardington Cedar Catholics at Sutton. And Southern Valley will be at North Platte St. Pat's. The six-man, they have quarterfinals. They break it up into East and West in the first round, which may definitely be a bad draw for Wilcox-Hildreth because they get number one Spalding Academy in Spalding Friday. Silver Lake travels to Cedar Rapids to take on Riverside Friday afternoon. At 2:30, the West has Sioux County taking on Hayes Center and Hyannis taking on Minotaur. And then Class D Thursday night, here are the games. Arapahoe at Elm Creek, that's at 7. Shelton will be out at Hemingford, and we are making arrangements to bring that game to you here on ESPN at 3 o'clock Central Time Thursday. Blue Hill, a 2:30 kickoff against North Central, which will get covered. Amherst hosting Ansley Litchfield, we'll have that for you here on ESPN at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Sutherland is at Fullerton at 6. In D2, in the western portion of the bracket, Bertrand will host Hayes Springs at 3, 7, Overton at Brady, Loomis at Elwood, and also at 7 o'clock in the eastern half of the bracket, Red Cloud at number 1, Exeter Milligan, Lawrence Nelson at Giltner, and Meridian at Kennesaw, and a lot more talk about those games as the week progresses. Again, Bo Pelini getting close to starting his press conference in Lincoln. And we will head there when that happens. The Nebraska volleyball team fell in straight sets to fifth-ranked Wisconsin yesterday. They make that trip to Rutgers in Maryland this weekend. UNK volleyball won both of their games. They're still tied for the MIAA lead. They're 21-2 and go to Fort Hays State tomorrow night. Hastings volleyball beat Morningside Friday and then lost in four sets to sixth-ranked Northwestern Saturday. They take on 12th-ranked Midland in Fremont on Wednesday. Soccer regular season winds down. UNK has two home games, Thursday against Fort Hays and Sunday against Emporia. They moved into seventh place with a win over Washburn yesterday. Top eight make the postseason. Hastings College swept Northwestern of Iowa. They travel to Concordia on Wednesday and then wrap things up with Mount Marty on Saturday and the Tri-City Storm. Two wins over the weekend. They head to Madison this weekend. So, Jimmy, I said win a lot there. There are a lot of wins for our teams this weekend.
That's what you want. You want this area to win.
It's better than lose. We just need to get those Royals back on the...
Was there any intriguing matchups you saw in the high school playoffs, Doug, that you looked at and you thought, hey, that's kind of an interesting game right there off the start? Was there anything that just caught your eye at all or not?
What has caught my eye is it's going to be a tough road. When you get down to 16, those gimmies in the first round are gone, and there aren't a lot of gimmies out there. I think a lot of teams, you'd say they have tough draws, they're tough draws because they're not one of the top five teams in the state. And eventually, early on, you're going to get tougher draws. And I've seen that, you know, Kearney High. Good draw, Norfolk. Bad draw, Omaha North. If you're looking at the big picture, you'd rather be anywhere else than against number one Omaha North. Whoever would draw that doesn't want to play Omaha North until the finals. Kearney Catholic injuries. Columbus SCOTA second round if they get past Boys Town. St. Cecilia, like what they're setting at. Sutton, kind of like what they're setting at. There's just, and then you get to Class D. I'll tell you what, an Amherst-Fullerton second round matchup. Look out. That could be one whale of a football game. And I like Kennesaw's draw, but Schnitzler got hurt last week. Hopefully he'll be back. And if they're at full strength, they're a tough team to slow down. These teams that can run the ball, Gibbon, 8-1, that's a very tough draw going to David City Aquinas.
Yeah, I thought Grand Island got a good draw as a four seed. I think that they I think Grand Island will win, you know, their first two games. I think, you know, they'll win the Columbus game, and then I think they'll win the next game. So I think Grand Island for Class A got themselves in a decent situation. Being a four seed, I'd rather be right where they're at than about any place else that I saw. You know, because in Class A, there are some tough first-round games out there that anybody could win. You know, like Bellevue West is good. Bellevue West lost like 47-42 to Omaha mm-hmm. North and mm-hmm. like 47-43 to Millard North. So they played 1-2, mm-hmm. the two undefeated teams, and played them fairly well. And I think they got beat bad. They got beat 63-21 to North, but played the other two teams, the 2 and 3 seeds, good. So Bellevue West, I think, is a pretty good team in Class A.
I think Omaha North has to be jumping up and down, though. Except for the fact that they're going to have to once drive out of the metro to go somewhere. And the reason I say that is, let's face it, you're number one, and so you're going to beat 16th seed Lincoln Southwest, and your road to Memorial Stadium most likely could be Kearney and Grand Island. And you know how the metro teams view anybody that's not in the metro. And yeah. So I'm guessing Omaha North loves the way that this bracket has played out. Still waiting for Bo Pelini. While we do that, let's go over our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Over the weekend, we asked you, who do you take to win the NBA title this year? It was pretty broken up. Everybody got a little something. 30% on Oklahoma City, 20% on Cleveland, the Bulls, and San Antonio. Only 10% on the field, which is, I think, what we took. We asked you, how will Nebraska finish out the remaining four games? Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. How many games will Nebraska win out of the remaining four? ESPNSuperstation.com. Again, got to be a little pessimistic here. There's still a chance to be 2-2. I thought Wisconsin and Iowa at the beginning of the year would be tough. I don't know if Maryland didn't know how to play Wisconsin this weekend or if Wisconsin's got it figured out. Don't want them figuring it out in time for Nebraska, but if they don't, then it's going to be too late. Minnesota and Iowa, people don't know. Jimmy, my gut says 3-1. I don't know that Nebraska, I mean, that's no different than what I thought at the beginning of the year. So I would say 3 of the 4.
Right. Wisconsin, I'm trying to, did somebody go into Wisconsin and beat them, or did Wisconsin lose on the road?
They lost to Northwestern.
On the road, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Wisconsin's tough at home. You know what I mean? Maryland went in there, and Wisconsin probably played fairly well at home. But, yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, the Big Ten's exciting. And, you look at this. How about the Big 12 with all the games going on there? How about West Virginia going into Oklahoma State and just letting them have it? You know, West Virginia put themselves in a situation now where there's somebody to be reckoned with. And that was a game Alabama won at the beginning of the year, and no one realized that West Virginia maybe was going to be that good.
Well, still waiting on Bo Pelini for some reason down there in Lincoln. Not sure what the story is, but there you have it. We will join the coach as soon as he is available in Lincoln. Let's go to our Debt Popper inbox. This comes from James. He says, hey, the offensive line and linebackers are not very good, Duda. That's the whole story, and Corey Cooper is bad. He is slow and takes bad angles to make tackles, but I'm a couch coach. Yeah, everybody is, aren't they? And now let's go to Lincoln for Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini.
We are, yeah. I think if you ask the players, they would tell you yes. I mean, I think it's been a good schedule. I wasn't sure going in how I was going to like it. And I like it for a lot of different reasons. But, yeah, I think that I think we are a little bit fresher.
How comfortable is that?
Well, it gets to be a long year. It does. I mean, it's, you know, because what people don't, you know, forget is that these kids got full class schedules and everything else going on. And, you know, that it can be a not just a physical grind, but the mental grind. And the fresher you can keep them, the better off you are. I mean, sometimes it's as much a mental thing as it is a physical thing. You know, I don't know how much the team reps and things have changed. It's not that much different, but it's we've cut through some of the walkthroughs, things like that. That it's probably cuts off, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood about a half hour a day. Yeah, our practices usually are right around. Right around 90 minutes. Well, I think that's everybody's goal, you know, throughout the country, you know, that is to, you know, I mean, there were a lot of good things on the tape, but, there are a lot of, you know, great individual efforts, but, you know, like I told the team yesterday, it's about doing it every play. And you know, if you play 60 snaps, you know, it's about play having 60 snaps, you know, without having a breakdown, you know, one way or the other. And it's not like it's one guy here, or one guy in particular, or few guys in particular. It's when guys take their turn, and I said, you know, there's a certain level of mental toughness it takes to and focus and discipline to do it for four quarters, regardless of what the score is, what the circumstances are, situation, whatever it may be. You play one way, and then that's all the time. It's all the time. Yeah, it's how you prepare and are you going to be able to stay focused in and you know, for the long haul, regardless of whether you get tired, whether you physically, mentally, whatever it may be. You know, it's you got to put your foot on the gas pedal at this time of year, and it's the only way it works. And those are the teams that are going to be standing at the end. That's the way it's. You're not going to be given anything. You got to go take it, and you got to. And that isn't just on Saturday. That means you got to prepare the right way during the week. You got to be focused enough and disciplined enough to bring it to the practice field every single day, because that's where your games are won or lost, and how you prepare. I think some things have been very good, and like I said, I think it's been inconsistent at times, and some breakdowns. And you know, like I told our guys yesterday, I said I understand that I have, you know, that we as coaching staff, in every phase, we have high expectations, high standards, and it's about the details. That's what carries you through. About being able to play consistently, play the way you're coached consistently, and at times I think we've done that very well, and at times we've had some lulls, some slip ups, some things that in my mind are inexcusable, and that's where we just, you know, that's where we have to keep growing as a team, and believe me, we're not alone. We're not, you know, that's been this way as long as I've been coaching, which has been for a long time, and that's why you got to keep going every week's a new challenge, every day's a new challenge to keep trying to get better, and keep upping your standards, you know, and not be satisfied with where you are. It's about how much more there is. There isn't a guy on our team individually or a football team that is even close to reaching our potential yet. And when you understand that, you know, you understand there's that much more out there for you. You know, like I said, you every single week you either get in my world you either you know you can very seldomly do you stay the same. You either get better, or you get worse, but we you have to work to get better every single week. Excuse me. Well, we had three guys come out of coverage and start chasing a quarterback who was probably going to get tackled on a third and nine. Probably would have got tackled for about a 2 or 3 yard gain. And three guys came out of coverage. But the whole thing started. I mean, it became a long pass because we were lazy in our technique on the backside, which caused our middle safety to squeeze a route that he shouldn't have had to squeeze because we should have picked up our backside corner, and one thing leads to another. And, you know, that's why it's a team game. Everybody's got to be doing their part every play, because if you're lazy in your technique, it affects somebody else and it puts you out of position, and that's how big plays happen. Yeah. You know, Eric, when you look across the country, there are head scratchers every week, and sometimes they lose. People lose games they should lose, or sometimes they almost, or they shouldn't. They lose games they shouldn't lose. Sometimes they almost do, and you know, it's not easy to you have to constantly you have to play this game on edge. You got to prepare on edge, but your players got to be, you got to have respect for this game, because you got to realize how quickly a game can turn. And when you're, you have to prepare in such a way that when you walk on the field, regardless of who you're playing and what the, like I said, what the score is, the circumstances, you got to understand that in this game, you're preparing with the understanding that when there are games you're going to walk into where you don't know which play is going to be the difference in the game. That's the way this sport is, and it's been that way for a long time. And you have to prepare yourself, and that has to be your standard every time you walk on the field. And you have to play that way. You have to play with that type of urgency, that sense of urgency all the time.
Okay.
That's how you prepare yourself to be the best you can possibly be.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You know, you got to play with a high tempo, but you know, and you have to take advantage of your reps. You know, you can't when you stay on the clock the way we have, and we go, you know, we're going at a high tempo. It means you don't have the opportunity, the chance to repeat a ton of plays, and because you know, otherwise, that's what causes you out there for a very long time, and you don't have that luxury. So when you better make the most of your reps, the same way you got to make the most of your reps on Saturday. So you better bring that mentality to the practice field. And where, you know, the day and age of saying, you know, I made that mistake, it won't happen on Saturday. Well, you know, you got to be right during the week, and that's. So you got to prepare accordingly. You got to bring the type of mentality every day, and it's easier said than done. It's bringing that mentality every single day to the practice field. You know, you got to approach practice like you do a game day, and be strong enough mentally to be able to get that to do that.
Recall when Malik Collins came on the radar as a prospect. What do you remember about that process?
We thought he was really talented right off you know, from the get-go. You know, he was a guy who wrestled and thought he was a, you know, a big, explosive, talented athlete, and who was raw. You know, which most guys are at that age, but excuse me, thought there was a very high end to him, and I think that's coming. That's showing that we, you know, we don't hit a lot of things right, but we hit that one right because he's going to be. I think he's really talented, and I think he's going to be. You know, he's going to turn into a. He's a really good player right now. He could become a great player.
Because at the time that you guys started recruiting, you had a lot of offers. There didn't need a lot of exposure on the team. You didn't really even have a recruiting rank. Did you watch your film with Bill Price? Like, what do you think kept him under the radar?
I don't know. You know, sometimes it's the area, country you're in, or I don't know. I don't know. You know, he came from a school, you know, that wasn't, a known football powerhouse, but it was obvious. You know, Coach Garrison, you know, does a great job doing his homework down there in the Kansas City area and identified him. And it didn't take very long to watch the film and say, wow, this guy is pretty special. So, and, you know, all you got to do is look at the draft every year. And that happens across the country year after year where, you know, it doesn't really matter what you're ranked. I mean, there's a lot of good football players out there. You just got to do a good job of identifying them.
When you guys decided on Nate Gary going to safety in the winter, was it based on his, what you thought was best for him, what you had covered wise, backer and safety, mix of the two?
No, it was for both of us. I mean, we moved him up there. He played backer up there last year because for out of necessity to a certain extent, and also because you know, at the time we thought that's where he was needed. But all long term, it was always a plan to move him back to safety. And I've said it before. I think that that experience of him playing up there has helped him. I mean, there's no question in my mind that you can't do that all the time because everybody doesn't have that kind of size or skill set that's able to play different things and really be able to handle it mentally. But I believe his experience up there has helped him. And he's another guy I think that I think he is. I mean, he's got a long way to go because he's only in his first year starting at safety. But I foresee him doing some pretty special things before he's out of here. He's a really talented guy who has great instincts for the game.
Did you tell him that when he came in that first August? Hey, here's what we're going to do with you short term.
Yeah. He knew he was eventually going to go back to safety.
Has Charlton Warren been just what you hoped he'd be when you hired him?
And more. I think he's a tremendously talented coach who very detailed in his coaching, does a great job. This isn't an easy system to come in and have the head coach, you know, looking over your shoulder all the time, especially at that position. And cause I'm more of a back end guy, a secondary guy, linebacker guy. And this system has kind of evolved over a long, long period of time. And there's a lot of little details, little things that that changes sometimes week to week, and you would think that he's been coaching in the system for a long time, really understands it, worked really hard at it in the off season, and he's done a great job. He's a really good teacher.
Those guys have had a lot of different coaches at that position group. Did you see them buy into him really quickly in that room?
Yeah, you know, I think he hit the ground running. He's an extremely intelligent guy, a great communicator. And like I said, you know, it's not like he picked it up overnight. It took some work on his part. And we spent a lot of time together in the off season and in the meeting room during spring ball and throughout fall camp. And I would say, you know, by the time, you know, I think he gets more comfortable in what we're doing every day and, you know, really gives a lot of valuable input. And he's a really talented coach. Really talented.
Coach, you guys have gotten off to some fast starts offensively this year, last week included. Is that, I
assumption is you just got a really good plan and guys are ready to go at the start. Is that accurate? What's your assessment of why that's happened a few times this year offensively?
I don't know. I think we do. I think we've executed pretty well. I think Coach Beck, you know, does a phenomenal job. And really the whole offensive coaching staff, those guys do a really good job. Like I said, we're pretty hard to stop when we're not stopping ourselves. And, you know, that's the key is, you know, stop doing the things, you know, reduce the amount of things that get us off schedule offensively and take advantage of our opportunities.
Well,
you always want to play from ahead, but it's not always going to be the case. You just don't know week to week and how it's going to turn out. And, you know, we don't really change much, other than making, you know, adjustments that you have to make, but. You know, regardless of what the score is, these games are long. With, and you know, let's face it, in this day and age, with as fast as they go, the amount of plays that are run, the amount of throwing sometimes that happens, the games can be long. You can't really change what you're doing and how you're calling the game just based on score. You know, it's not like you can go and, you know, sit on it, you know, early in the football game. You got to. Whether you have a lead or whether you're behind, whatever it may be, you just gotta you gotta execute your offense and stick with your plan. And I mean, I think a good example of that was the Michigan State game. You know, there was, you know, even though we were behind, we didn't take advantage of some opportunities. There was no panic there. We just kept playing. You know, you keep playing and look for your opportunities and look for your try to take advantage of things that can get you back in the game. But there can't be a sense of panic just because you're behind. Or I think at times we've on both sides of the football at times have been when we become our own worst enemy. At times have been when we've been ahead, and I don't know whether there's been a sense of let up or a lull that has happened there where. Things have happened where I don't know whether guys felt like, hey, the game's in hand or whatever it may be. That's when some of our sloppiness have happened, and that, there's no excuse for that.
Kenny has obviously caught a lot of balls from you guys. Is there a catch or two that sticks out to you, maybe your favorite catch that Kenny Bellis made over the years?
Oh, I don't know. He's made so many. I mean, he's had a great career, and he's been an absolute – Kenny Bell has been an absolute pleasure to coach. And, you know, just forget about just football-wise, but how he's grown as a man over that period of time has been fun to watch, his evolution. And, you know, he's been a great, you know, a great kid to coach. And it's been very rewarding to see him accomplish what he's been able to accomplish. But I mean, I think of that catch he made against Illinois last year was pretty special, and he made a phenomenal catch. I remember, I think it was in the Michigan State game down by the goal line. Those are two that kind of stick out in my head, but he's made so many great plays.
What do you know about Purdue? They played a lot better last month, close game to Minnesota, Illinois win. What have you seen from them, how they got better?
I think they're a well-coached football team who has gotten better. You know, you watch them where they were a year ago compared to now. It's like night and day. And I think, you know, I mean, which doesn't surprise me. Darryl Hazel's a heck of a coach, and he has some really good coaches on that staff. You know, Shoop over there running their offense, who's been around the game a long time and is a good, really good coach. And, you know, they do a good job defensively. I mean, they you know, it's a program that's on the come. You know that I think they're going to continue to get better. You know, you see the good coaching. The kids play very hard. They're very sound in what they do.
They've got two pretty good running backs in terms of speed. I think one's like a Big Ten spring champion. What do those guys do? How do they use those guys in different situations?
Yeah, I think they do a lot of different things to kind of, you know, try and create space for those guys. Get I think they have a good understanding of what people are trying to do against them and game plan very well. They have their different wrinkles that they mix in there and, you know, try to do as many things as they can to get those, you know, a couple of those guys that they have real playmakers out in space and, you know, where they have, you know, room to work.
Year in a row, you're playing them off the bye, and they did some different things last year against you. You just kind of caution your guys to say, hey, there might be an instance where they do some different things that all tend to break from tendency a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. We'll see some things that are a little bit different. We always tend to, on both sides of the football, that happens to us almost on a weekly basis. And so, you know, that's something that we... You know, we're used to dealing with, and I'm sure Purdue is, you know, I'm sure that they, you know, they kind of hit their stride a little bit offensively. And so, you know, I would expect we're going to see some different things formation-wise and some things we're going to have to make some quick adjustments to.
Stats-wise, Tiger Anderson's having a real good year. Is the same thing showing up on film? Is he playing at the level he wanted to?
Yeah, I think Zaire's done some really good things. But you know, I think that you know, once again, you know, there's a lot more out there for Zaire too. I mean, you know, the one thing about Zaire, he's going to play hard, he's going to play physical, and you just got to, you know, continue to work on a consistency, his understanding, his you know, being able to adapt during the games. I think he's come a long way, but. You know, every day he walks out onto the practice field, he works so hard, but he needs to keep growing. It's like, just like the rest of the group.
What's the biggest jump he's made to become more of an every down guy for you as opposed to like a situational?
I think the mental part of the game is really, his understanding of, forget about just what we're doing defensively, but what offenses are trying to do, how it works according to what our scheme is. And his understanding has just grown, you know, and he's, I think he's a lot more confident, and I think it shows in how he plays, because he's playing a lot faster and a lot more decisive than you know, where he was a year or so ago.
What's the status of Evans Price?
He's back. He's back to practice now.
I saw him. Is he going to be able to kick again this year?
Yeah, I would anticipate Morrow will be back, if not this week, probably for the Wisconsin game.
Do you plan to bring him back out and as the kickoff guy, or
we'll see how he comes back out of it and how he, you know, how he feels health wise and you know, but yeah, if he's at the, you know, if he can get up to the level he was before he got hurt.
So what did he say in the second half? Is that just to kind of give him a look?
Yeah, Spencer's done really well. Spencer Lindsay's really done real well since Morrow's been out. So, you know, that presents a good problem to have. You know, I mean, you can never have enough good kickers.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
I don't know. When you're in my seat, it feels like we've been, this regular season's been about 3 years long. But it goes quick at times. It's been, you know, when we walked out there the other day, and you realize it seemed like forever since we'd played a home game. But yeah, you know, it can go quick.
Do you have some fun with Josh Mitchell at all after the play? I mean, well, how do you react to something like that? I guess. I mean, he's a lighthearted guy. I'm sure he knows he's a little bit smart, but...
Yeah, you know, I was, I guess, dumbfounded when I saw him do what he did. I was like, I don't know. And I love Josh, but like I said, what he was thinking. You talk to Josh, I don't know. I mean,
who was he trying to pitch?
I don't think anybody. I don't know what he was doing. Honestly, what happened there is and it goes back to, you know, on a PAT, if you block it, you keep the ball alive. And somewhere in there, you know, because there is no, it doesn't matter, there's no change of possession involved. And for some, in certain level of insanity kicked in, and he reverted back to, hey, keep the ball alive on a PAT. And but it was a field goal. You know, so, hey, you know, but it was a, you know, number one, we as coaches got to make sure that we, when we, when you make a coaching point like that, that you make sure that that understanding goes, you know, that they completely understand what you're saying. And I, and Josh understood it, but, you know, it's in the heat of the moment, he, some voice in his head had Coach Pelini telling him, keep the ball alive. So, you know, we all have those little voices in our head all the time, some more than others. But he had one right at that point.
How nice has it been to watch Amir have the type of season he's having for a Big Ten offensive league so far?
Well, you know, I, you know, when he, a guy like Amir, you want him to get, I mean, you know, I'm happy for him. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, I, you know, Amir, he's not caught up in all that stuff right now, but I think, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll continue, he'll finish out this year the way he wants to finish it out, both individually and team wise. And he'll be able to look back on this. I mean, it, you know, with, a lot of pride, you know, with the things that he's been able to accomplish are pretty, pretty special.
Does it bug you that he's not in a lot of people's top five prizes?
Does it bug me? Yeah, it does a little bit, but you know, I mean, I got my, I could talk for a half an hour on that whole situation and how that goes, but yeah, it's not just this year, it's year after year, you know, that, you know, it's, I take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. I mean, just watch the film. That's all you got to do.
He passed Archie Griffin on Saturday. Do you think he understands, guys on this team understand the significance of passing a guy like Archie Griffin for all of our shows?
Is Amir even aware of that? I don't know. Like I said, he's not real. That's for later on when it's over. And but you know, passing a guy with what Archie was able to do was, that caught my attention, obviously, because I was thinking about calling Archie up and telling him, hey, see, you weren't as good as you thought you were. No. No, Archie's a great guy. And but you know, I mean, I, obviously growing up in Ohio, it sure caught my attention.
Anything else for Coach?
Thanks, guys.
That is Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini at his weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We will take a break, come back, and recap what the coach had to say and wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The Hastings Museum and Platte River Radio present World War II bus tours November 7th, 8th, 11th, and 16th. This package includes a two-hour bus tour of the Naval Ammunition Depot with expert Walt Miller, the new 3D film D-Day narrated by Tom Brokaw, and a guided tour at the Hastings Museum, including the new photography exhibit from the National World War II Museum. $30 for members, $40 for non-members plus tax. Space is limited, so call to register soon. More details at Hastings Museum. Museum.org.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
The world's best thoroughbreds will compete in the Breeders' Cup World Championships Friday and Saturday at Santa Anita. Simulcast for wagering at Fodder Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Play the Ultra Pick 6 in the richest prize money event in sports. Four races Friday starting 4:25 p.m. Nine races Saturday, 2:05 p.m. The Breeders' Cup World Championships Friday and Saturday, plus daily simulcasting, Keno, full dining and bar at the Finish Line, Grand Island.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Dougie Daddy's show, as you're heading out to lunch, don't forget to stop by and see our friends at the Kearney Chicken Coop, the best of both worlds, the original sports bar and grill. A lot of places say they are both, but no one is like the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. And on Mondays, you can stop in and enjoy their steak sandwich, your choice of side, for only $7.49. It's their Monday lunch special, served from 11 to 4 at the Chicken Coop. And then from 2 to 5:30 every weekday, you get specials on appetizers, long necks, and draws. It is always there for you. Happy hour lasts more than an hour at the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. Kearney Chicken Coop, bar and grill, the best of both worlds. Go in, watch Monday Night Football, grab your Monday Night Coop Koozie, and get a good discount on your favorite beverages every Monday night at the Chicken Coop. Whether it's lunch, whether it's a little afternoon getaway from work, maybe you're just on that shift where the afternoon is your time to shine, go in and see the folks at the Kearney Chicken Coop. Well, Jimmy, as expected, I don't think we learned a whole lot. Again, it took forever just to even bring up Purdue, which shows you where Nebraska's at. Starting off with, you know, how's the team fresh? How is there changes in practice regimen? Can you tell that it's helping you so far? A couple of teams finished very strong in 2009 and 2012. What did you learn that could help this year's team to finish strong? And again, from day one, I've said on this show, Bo Pelini was a new head coach. His coordinators were fairly new. It was going to take a while for these guys to grow, and you had some growing pains. You had some things happen that they don't want to have happen because they haven't happened to them before as coaches. And now that you're year in and year out, you're seeing less and less of that, Jimmy. And maybe that's part of the reason of how you say, I don't know, the question is how do you avoid the upset down the stretch here? Well, if coaches knew that, there wouldn't be any upsets, right?
We're 7-1. When we played Michigan State, things fell into place pretty good the fourth quarter. So no one was really screaming at anybody. No one was yelling on the sidelines. But what I've noticed in the past, that when things start to go bad, I mean, I want to see how we act when things go bad on the sidelines. Because this year, things haven't really gone horrible on the sidelines this year. We've had some good interviews at halftime even. You know, what do you think of this? And things have gone pretty good with some of the interviews at halftime. So
yeah, even if we're behind. I'm not sure if Spencer Lindsay likes what he's doing. Mauro Bondi could come back. I always got that feeling that they're not going to miss that guy. You know, is there's just that he just hasn't mixed in with the team and the coaching staff, but who knows? That can sometimes be more hearsay than anything else. Just good to see Spencer Lindsay get his chance, and hopefully he'll get to keep that chance for a while. And that brings us to Archie from the Dent Popper inbox. He says, another missed field goal this past weekend, and Brown's kickoffs barely reached the goal line. I'm concerned this is going to hurt us at some point. Is the true freshman's leg tired and overused? Archie, as far as getting them, I think that was intentional on Saturday, trying to make Rutgers return it, because if you watch almost, not all of them, but almost every time it was returned, they were beautifully placed between the 5 and the goal line where they had to return it in Nebraska, I think all but once stuffed them inside the 20. I mean, the kick coverage was very, very good. So I think that was part of a strategy there. He can't be tired. Nebraska hasn't attempted that many. He's kicked off a lot. But as far as field goals, yeah. I mean, it's hard to replace Alex Henry and Brett Maher, two of the most successful and accurate kickers in the history of the NCAA. Not Nebraska, because they already are, but of any kicker at any time. So that's what I think about that. Anything else that stuck out to you today?
No, not really. I think what surprises me a little bit is we've had a couple of plays this year. One was Fresno, when we had a punt that landed on a 15-yard line and was bouncing around. It was a quick kick on fourth down, and one of our players took it and batted it through the back of the end zone and resulted in a safety. And then we had this interception. But I think anytime there's a play that's a little different, anytime you block a field goal or you do something a little different, sometimes it ends a little weirdly. A lot of times that's why people are going, just fall down, fall down, fall down, everybody get down. That's why you're yelling at people to fall down, because you don't know what they're going to do. So I think that's the second play we've had this year.
Well, it was a good win, and now it's on to Purdue, about a 24-point favorite for the Huskers, and that'll be Saturday. Again, it's a 2:30 kickoff on ABC, and then it's into another bye week after that before Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. It's the next to last home game. Hard to believe. You've only got two more chances to go to Lincoln and watch Amir Abdullah and Kenny Bell play. Do it, especially Purdue, because I think that'll be a little bit easier ticket than Minnesota, and the weather's not going to be that bad. See if you can get those tickets. We want to thank you for joining us today. Stu Pospisil had a personal conflict come up today. We've been in touch with him. He will join us tomorrow. Also, UNK head football coach Daryl Morris and Tony Harper of Hastings College. Damon Day scheduled to co-host with us as well. World Series Game 6 tomorrow. Jimmy, have a great week, man.
Take care.
Folks, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.